This is Maine Things Considered on Maine Public Radio. I'm Nora Flaherty. On the program tonight, the state looks to prevent people from spending food stamp money on sugary sodas and candy, and a new ocean simulation lab at the University of Maine. We'll have those stories and your Maine newscast just ahead. First, though, national and world news from NPR. This is Maine Things Considered on MPBN Radio. I'm Nora Flaherty. First today, Maine has filed for a waiver from the federal government to prevent the use of food stamp funds to pay for the purchase of sugary soda or candy. Supporters say it's aimed at curbing consumption of foods that contribute to diabetes and obesity. A bill aimed at banning junk food from the program did not pass in the last session of the legislature, and the federal government has denied waivers from the other states that have requested them. Mal Leary has details.
Department of Health and Human Services Commissioner Mary Mayhew says the state is spending millions of dollars a year to treat poor Mainers for the health effects of obesity and diabetes, conditions that are preventable through better nutrition. Mayhew says that's why the state is seeking a waiver from Washington in order to prohibit the use of funding for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP program, to pay for sugary foods and soda. Mayhew acknowledges that it will be an uphill battle to get the waiver.
We know what we're up against because the federal government has repeatedly opposed this in other states, but we truly believe that this is the right area to start with, to focus on soda, to focus on candy.
Mayhew says some cakes and cookies have as much sugar as candy or soda, but the waiver the state is seeking is a good start in addressing the problem, and that further waivers may be sought in the future. House Majority Leader Jeff McCabe, a Democrat from Skowhegan, praises the initiative, but wonders why DHHS hasn't sought the waiver before now. Republican State Senator Roger Cates from Augusta sponsored a bill last year that failed to pass the Senate that would have directed the agency to seek the waiver. He says while it's the right thing to do, it faces tough opposition from big companies that are making profits from food stamp purchases of sugary items.
The junk food lobby, the soda manufacturers, the candy manufacturers are a very powerful lobby down there. And I think that's really what has blocked this kind of reform from taking place.
The Cates bill was also opposed by some advocates for the poor. But Dr. Jonathan Schenken, a pediatric dentist from Augusta, has long advocated for such a ban. Schenken says soda manufacturers and candy makers are making a lot of money selling to poor Americans that receive food stamps and have fought vigorously to maintain that business.
It's a multi-billion dollar subsidy to the soda industry through food stamps. In Maine, that's anywhere from $15 to $20 million that is being spent every year by food stamp recipients on soda.
Maine Senator Susan Collins, a Republican, says she has not been lobbied by companies that profit from the sale of sugary products, but knows it is going on. She says rather than state-by-state policies, she believes Congress should weigh in and set a policy for the entire country on what are healthy foods and what foods should not be included in the food stamp program. Schenken says dozens of studies show the connection between high sugar consumption and health problems, such as obesity, tooth decay, and diabetes. And he'd like to see a policy change at the national level. For MPBN News, I'm Mal Leary.
If you're a shipbuilder looking to build vessels that can better handle the worst ocean storms, the University of Maine might be able to help you out. In Orono this morning, members of Maine's congressional delegation and the Obama administration joined scientists, students, and nonprofit leaders to celebrate the opening of the Alfond Ocean Engineering and Advanced Manufacturing Laboratories. Jay Field was at this morning's dedication. He has this report.
This is a new lab. We're just going to take a few people in right now.
Dr. Habib Dogger, who heads the UMaine Composite Center, walks through a door and into a building the size of a small airplane hangar. U.S. Senator Susan Collins and Angus King and 2nd District Congressman Bruce Poliquin follow Dogger to the edge of a concrete rectangular basin filled with water.
You see the floor down there? It moves up and down. So the basin floor moves up and down to change water depth in the ocean.
The floor can go down as deep as 16 feet. An artificial beach made of composite material stretches across the far end of the basin. Dogger signals to scientists monitoring a computer. And 16 paddles at the near end of the basin begin thrusting back and forth through the water. Dogger and his team can simulate waves as high as 100 feet in this lab. A tunnel of fans sit at the far end of the basin, above the roiling water.
This wind machine you see out there allows us to change wind speed with height, so to simulate how the wind changes in the ocean.
There are other labs in the country with wave basins and wind tunnels, but Dogger says the new Alfond Ocean Engineering Lab is the first to put a wind tunnel over a wave basin. A second lab nearby will allow scientists to build experimental boats, oil and gas rigs, ocean energy, and other structures from fabricated wood, foam, composites, and metal. The prototypes will be placed in the simulator and exposed to extreme ocean conditions. Later, at the dedication ceremony, Senator Collins said the new lab would improve Maine's industrial competitiveness.
It will create new jobs. It will advance renewable energy in wind power, wave, and tidal. And it may well help protect our coastal cities from major storms.
Startup and operation of the lab will cost nearly $14 million over the next 3 years. The project had brought in just under $10 million when another speaker at the ceremony stepped to the microphone.
Harold Alfond was very fond of saying, "Don't tell me, show me."
Greg Powell runs the Harold Alfond Foundation.
For nearly 20 years, as it is this morning, the Composites Center is all about showing success and accomplishment. So on behalf of the foundation, I am delighted to show our support by delivering this check and announcing our grant commitment to the center in the amount of $3.9 million. Thank you.
Other funding for the Alfond Ocean Engineering and Advanced Manufacturing Laboratories has come from grant competitions and from a voter-approved bond funded by the governor and the legislature back in June. The Alfond gift will allow the labs to buy more equipment and hire more engineers and students to help get the facilities up and running. For MPBN News, I'm Jay Field.
And finally today, Mainers representing several environmental groups are headed to Paris beginning next week for the United Nations Climate Change Conference. The goal is to forge an historic international agreement involving nearly 200 countries to reduce global warming pollution and to transition away from fossil fuels to an economy powered by renewable energy. As part of our ongoing series, Beyond 350, Confronting Climate Change, Susan Sharon reports that several of those making the trip are optimistic that that goal can be achieved.
At stake is the threshold that many scientists say is necessary to avoid disruption to food production, ice cap melting, sea level rise, and mass extinction. That threshold is 2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. If global warming can be capped below that number, some say a climate catastrophe might be avoided. But there are no guarantees. And that's why Glenn Brand, director of the Sierra Club's Maine chapter, says the Paris talks are so important.
Well, we're really optimistic, in part because of what the Obama administration has done to set real high goals for itself, to lead by example, to set carbon reduction standards that are really ambitious and meaningful. The second thing is that they've worked hard to secure similar agreements from the big carbon polluters like China and India.
So for the first time, Brand says there's an opportunity to strike a deal that would be global in nature. And the Sierra Club is sending a delegation to share strategies with other NGOs that have been used to address climate change locally.
We will talk about our Cool Cities programs, how 26 towns and cities signed the U.S. Mayor's Climate Protection Agreement and created plans to reduce their carbon emissions.
Claudia King is a Sierra Club volunteer from Falmouth who spoke at a news conference Monday about her attendance at the upcoming conference, where she will also discuss her town of Falmouth's efforts to install biomass boilers and solar panels as a way to reduce its emissions. Kathy Lee, a Maine attorney who works on climate change around the world, says she'll lead a side discussion about adoption of a climate tax in South Africa and how that model could be used in other parts of the world.
Most industries that are large emitters of greenhouse gases are subject to the tax. They're phasing the tax in and they're doing it very slowly.
Lee and others say local, state, and regional action to address climate change adaptation will continue to be essential no matter what happens in Paris. The Gulf of Maine, for example, is one of the fastest warming bodies of salt water anywhere in the world. Extreme weather events are also more common, with a fivefold increase in the frequency of storms that drop 4 inches of rain or more. City planners have responded by installing larger diameter culverts. But what's really key, says Mike Williams of Cumberland, is a strong global deal that includes science-based targets along with transparency and verification.
Ensuring that when every country puts forward its contribution, that all other countries have a chance to review it, so we have a fair level playing field, and so we actually know that we're taking on climate change, and we also know that there is a fair playing field for manufacturing.
I think what is likely coming out is that there's going to be voluntary emissions cuts, and we're really pressing for mandatory emissions cuts.
Megan LaSala is with the Southern Maine Workers Center, part of the Grassroots Global Justice Alliance, which is sending a delegation of 100 activists to Paris. LaSala says her group is focused on solutions for people most affected by climate change and not on solutions that financially benefit corporations. The UN Climate Change Conference begins November 30th and goes through December 11th. For MPBN News, I'm Susan Sharon.
And this is Maine Public Radio. Let's check in on the weather. Tonight we'll have clear skies but cold temperatures with lows in the mid-teens far north and west to the mid-20s along the down east coast. Tomorrow, sunny in central and down east Maine. Otherwise, partly cloudy with highs in the high 20s to low 40s north to south. On Wednesday, sunny with highs in the low 30s to low 40s north to south. And on Thursday, Thanksgiving, warmer and mostly sunny, a nice day in the south and down east. Otherwise, partly to mostly cloudy with highs in the high 30s to low 50s north to south. And that's Maine Things Considered. Thanks today to Ed Moore and Barbara Caridi, Keith Shortall, and Andrew Catalina. I'm Nora Flaherty.